Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask that you would anoint my lips. Holy Spirit, speak through me. I cannot do this on my own, Lord. I need your power. I need your knowledge from above. Now I ask, Lord, that you would bind every attempt of the enemy to thwart your word. Every attempt to usurp your authority. And that the word would go forth out and it would penetrate to the heart. And it would discern the thoughts of the heart. To reveal what is behind the veil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The title of this message is Under Pressure. And as I think about this past week and the many things that were going on with this church family, as I heard from many of you, and particularly I also heard from Kathleen and heard her cries of being overwhelmed and not knowing how much longer can I hold on or get through this. That word tribulation in the Greek is thlipsis, which means it's a pressing. It's a pressing together. It's pressure. It's a metaphor for oppression, for affliction, for tribulation, for distress, for straits, feeling of in dire straits. And I know this is the message the Lord has put on my heart because I could feel it when you guys all walked in, when I greeted you, I could feel the heaviness. Listen, everyone knows the feeling of pressure. That experience of being pressed down on all sides until it feels like you can't take it anymore. Right, Kathleen? Stress, anxiety, fear, there are human emotions that everyone can identify with. That pressure. I watched the garbage man come this week, and as he dumps the trash, and then it compacts, and it pressures, it just presses it down. There's nothing to resist it. It's just the hydraulic press just comes down so hard on it. And given what's taken place since 2020 with issues like a pandemic and social unrest and politics that have led many people to be afraid, and worry and stress and that fear brings can feel crushing at times. And many wonder how long it'll be before they crack or till they crack like that item under the press. And we're not immune, Christian. We are not immune from these pressures. Leading churches, leading families, leading ministries, leading schools, leading businesses, small businesses in a lawless, chaotic world that's on the slide. It can create so much fear and worry about the unknown. Add to that the pressures of political chaos that's polarizing this world, polarizing in this country. And I ask where things are at in this world. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ and will deceive many." We live in times of great deception. And it's really hard to find truth that's proclaimed today. You listen to the news. You almost have to find an outlet source, an alternate news. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do we not see that? China, Taiwan, China, Russia. Russia, Ukraine. Russia, NATO, Israel and its neighbors. Iran, Lebanon, Palestinians, Pakistan, India, China and India. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. We see race wars, race versus race. We're seeing a food crisis that's starting to build. I read this past week that the Irish are looking to cull 200,000 cattle over the next 3 years to adopt or fit into the climate accords of Europe, the Eurozone climate controls. Perhaps famine would be a result of financial chaos. We're not through the financial chaos just yet, folks. We just increased our debt level as a country by $5 trillion. The treasuries are going into auction on Monday. The money supply, I shared that with you, some of you earlier this week, is at an all-time low since the Great Depression. There's a liquidity crisis coming, folks. And the commercial sector is going to get hit pretty hard. And maybe that's going to be a result of famine, too, if you can't buy, right? A day's wage for a loaf of bread. Pestilence, earthquakes. They will deliver you up to tribulation. There it is again, thlipsis, the pressing, and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up, deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Has lawlessness increased? It certainly has. It's literally the great divide. It's the great divide that we are seeing unfold that produces lawlessness. And as a result of that, the love of many waxing cold. And what results out of that because of the love waxing cold is lovers of self. Isn't that what Paul said the end times would look like? We are in perilous times. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, as he describes that. That word perilous is kalypsos. Kalypsos, which is, they're dangerous times. They are hard to bear. There's no love. They're hard to bear. You know what? They're hard to bear in your own strength. They're hard to bear in your own strength. But that love of many waxing cold, there's no love or concern for others. Don't you understand that's part of the deception that the enemy wants? He wants us to be so deluded that others won't see the love we have for one another. John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all we know that you are my disciples. By this, by what mark? What mark? Love. That you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know what, folks? It hurts. It hurts living in this world. It hurts when the ones you love don't seem to care. It hurts when you feel betrayed. The Bible says that a time will come where family will turn against one another. It hurts when you feel like others have turned their back on you. They don't care about anything that's going on, where love has faded. It hurts when people change. And I remember Peter. Remember, he was so confident. He had so much pride. Never me, Lord. Never me. Not me. Not me. Yet in the face of adversity, he denied the Lord. You don't think that hurt? 3.5 years, Jesus traveled with him, ate with him, even Judas. Yet the Lord still loved him. The cross hurt, folks, and he loved us first. And the cross is enough to give us that love, that agape love. And the enemy wants you to feel the pressure. The pressures of this world to make you callous to others and ultimately to the Lord. And I think we all need to take a moment to examine our own hearts and our own lives and ask the Lord, what am I, who am I growing callous to? Where do I need to change my heart, Lord? Where can I be softened? And all of you are accountable for what you just heard, including myself. The Holy Spirit has been nudging many of you. Do not stifle him. He is trying to produce change in you. It's called sanctification, to be more Christ-like. Don't sit there with your arms folded. I'm good. Sometimes you got to grow up. You got to do the things that hurt. Do the things you maybe don't want to do, and have a servant's heart like the Lord. The Lord did not want to go to the cross. Father, may this cup pass before me. Is there another way? No. That was the path that God chose for him. That was the path the Father laid out. And if you are trusting in him, he will direct your path. And your job is to walk in it. It's hard enough, folks. It's hard enough with the tribulations of this world. And it's only going to intensify. Now is the time to make sure your heart is right. It's quiet in here. I think I pricked some hearts. Actually, I didn't. That was the Holy Spirit. The pressure and the evil from outside is only going to intensify. Are you known by love? And I'm not talking about the whole spin of what the world has twisted in love. I'm talking about love of the Savior pouring out inside you. Listen, you know what? Mollusks, clams, oysters, mussels. Think about what Katie was talking about with Psalm 37 about feeling like the evil ones around you. Those clams, oysters, and mussels make pearls as a protection against irritants that sneak into its soft tissue. Soft tissue. And what they do is they do so by exuding layer upon layer of shell material. And for some animals, this is called nacre, or mother of pearl. It's translucent. It's beautiful like a rainbow when the light shines upon it. And what the mollusk is doing is it's putting a rind around the intruder, like a grain of sand or a parasite that's come in. And the nacre is a type of rind that gives the pearls their pearly sheen, right? But it's also made of organic secretions with carbon-based mineral known as aragonite, which makes it extremely strong. Its mineral and organic parts go together like bricks and mortar. The bricks, if they're not, you'll put mortar in there, they don't solidify. You were a builder, right? The mortar gets it together and then it hardens, right? We know the story of the three little pigs. The last one was the smart one, right? He built it with brick and mortar. Why am I sharing this? Because every irritation that enters our lives today, every little thing we fret about, every little person that rubs us the wrong way, it's another opportunity to make a pearl. In the case of a Christian, it's an opportunity to become more Christ-like, the pearl of great price. The more the irritations the enemy and the world throw at us, the more pearls we're able to develop. But this can only be accomplished when we meet those irritants, when we meet those in our life with the proper spirit. And we can use them to gain victory or to go down in defeat. It's a choice. Walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. It's a choice. You walk in the spirit, there's joy. You walk in the flesh and you're grumbling about the person who's rubbed you the wrong way. One produces fruit for the kingdom. The other produces rotten fruit. You ever bitten into a rotten piece of fruit? The apple, it looks really good, but it's bruised underneath and you don't know it, and you bite into it and you go, oh, gross. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 5, verse 3, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. James says it a very another way. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. The irritations and adversities we face in life are not meant to defeat you. They are meant to be defeated. They are not meant to bring you down. They are to make you stronger in the Lord. They are not meant to be faced alone. They are meant to be faced in the strength and the power, the dunamis of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me. And if we can welcome these times, these irritants, these times of distress, and view that as an opportunity to grow stronger in the Lord, we become more Christ-like, which is what he wants us to do, to be the hands and feet. And we can use them in the manner knowing that all things work together for the good that are called according to his purpose. Those who love God, right? Those who love God and are called according to the purpose. Are you called? You are. So the bottom line is trust. Don't worry, trust. Trust is the ticket. It's the ticket. 2 Corinthians 4, 8-9, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. The words of Paul tells us that the pressure is going to come. It's going to come. Just as Jesus said, in this world you will. Not you might, you will. You will. It's going to come. But the promise also says no matter how great the pressure, you survive it by the Lord. Given the state of the world that we live in right now, this is good news, right? It's good news. Hello? Come on, folks, stay awake. Because pressures seem to be increasing on every side. Pastors feel pressure leading churches. Just as parents feel it raising children. No one's immune from the increasing pressure, anxiety, and worry that fills our world. Bankers are feeling the pressure. Teachers. It's a lot. And there's a shortage in some areas where the class sizes are huge. Farmers. Parents. Students of all ages. Scientists, accountants, small business owners. Retirees thinking, how am I going to make what I've put away all my life last? No matter the social status, people are feeling the pressure. And at times it feels as if people will crack under that pressure right before our eyes. And we're in a connected world. And we can feel like we're under that press where like every ounce of life gets squeezed out of us. Anybody there? Yeah. Yeah. And the world loves to sit back and watch and kind of mock and laugh when those people kind of crack. Yeah, we let emotions get the best of us. And then they say, Christian, where's your God now? Where's your God now? Christians don't simply watch the pressure crush others. We are not immune to them. And if someone tells you you're immune, they are lying. But we can stand in pressure by and through the grace of God. The grace of God. It's his empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. And we can demonstrate that to others to show them how they can endure no matter what comes our way. People are watching you. They are watching you. And that's why as Christians, you should be letting your light shine so much more right now. You should be standing out in the world with the message that we are going to make it through. We are going to make it through.
The message of the cross is that Christ has already endured the worst. The worst. He bore it on our behalf. No matter what comes our way, even death itself, it does not defeat us. Nothing separates us from his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. No more toils or snares. Through his death on the cross and the resurrection, Christ has defeated it all. All. And he's given us the same spirit that rose from the grave. Helped him raise from the grave. The Ruach is inside you. And he leads us in all truth. He's a comforter in our time of need, in our time of distress. In addition, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the living word of God. The living word of God. Right, Jeffrey? He quoted that yesterday. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which is his ways. That the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The living word equips you and I for surviving these days. That's why you need it. It's called the bread of life. It sustains you. But I'm feeling pressed on all sides. I'm perplexed. I'm feeling struck down. I'm not sure how much longer I can hold on. That's when your faith rises. Let faith rise. And as a result, hope rises. It's a tough race. And races put your endurance level to the test. And we're in a time where we could be witnessing where our patience definitely runs thin, right? And the perseverance level gets stretched to the limit. Like when you're lifting and you just kind of rep out and you're just like, that last one, you're like, your arms are shaking. I'm getting hoarse. Too much shouting earlier. Trusting in the Lord to direct our path is the critical difference. You understand that? When we call on him in our most dire moments, he does not sit back. He never leaves or forsakes us. He knows our limitations. He knows our inadequacies. And you can't break down when the going gets tough. You have direct access to him by what? Prayer. You guys were all praying this week. You prayed on behalf of Rose. You boldly approached the throne room of grace. You need to stay calm, right? Self-control, calm. While you wait for his grace and his mercy to flourish inside you, stay in communion with him. Renew your mind with his word, his thoughts, putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Because the evil one is like, he's the sniper, right? He's just sitting there and he's studying, he's watching, he wants to hurl the fiery darts, he's looking for that chink in your armor, right? He wants to throw lies your way, the accusations, misconceptions, throw you off chart with what's ahead. And that's when you need to focus on the Lord in the very thick of the testing, right? In the lion's den. Our patience flourishes when we take on his strength, not our own. And you are found perfect and established, and he will never fail us when we earnestly call on him. So let's look at that with spiritual eyes, right? Because it's easy to get anxious, right? But God has not given you a spirit of fear. Some of you love that verse. I know I love that verse. But of power, right? That, like that part. What's the part? The love. Might breeze past that middle one. And then the sound mind, which is the self-control. I don't need to rehash what I said earlier about the love part, but I really think some of you guys need to examine that in your life.
Because if you give the enemy an opening, the enemy will certainly expose it. Right? Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, be awake. Be awake. Give strict attention, active, to heed. Take heed to lest through, like, because calamity can come and suddenly overtake you. That's what he's saying there. Be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he's going to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. I love that steadfast word. But listen to what it says in verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Because the enemy is like, he wants despair. He wants you to worry. He wants you to be overwhelmed with fear, right? Take your eyes off the Lord. And our focus is supposed to be on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Another example of that is finisher is perfecter, the perfecter of our faith. And he is ahead of us. And he keeps us from looking at the current days as like the tempest storm with no hope, but instead it looks at it with eyes of hope. And I can understand that these days everything can seem unstable and shifting around us. I know I feel that way. Those swirl of uncontrollable events, we've talked about that numerous times with our work, with our families. They're all changing. Do you understand? It's changing. Even AI is changing our world, right? Changing how we work in the classroom. But even in the midst of the change, we can remain secure because we tether to the anchor of our soul. Yes. Right? Yeah. Man, you guys are super quiet. You are super quiet. And our God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the promises from him are what? Yes and amen. And the things are, they're accelerating at breakneck speed, folks. The change is happening. I told you last week about normalcy bias. Don't be fooled by that. John Haller made a good point, and I haven't gone back to listen to him, but he said, when Fellowship Bible Chapel Church, this is someone I follow, but he's like, go back and listen to prophecy updates that I did back in like 2010 or 2011. He's like, the stuff we were talking about compared to today, he said, there was like, you had to find and stretch to find things. And he's like, there's no stretching or finding things. It's just countless. He's like, there's not even enough hours to cover everything that's going on. When Jesus talks about the one who builds his house on the rock, what does it say? It says, the storm comes, right? The flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it. It could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. It had brick and mortar, right? It wasn't built on sand. But he who did nothing is like the man who built his house on the earth without a foundation. Looked good. But the storm came. God is a way maker, folks. He takes us down other paths. He carves out another path that our way, Katie said before, our ways, right? We think our ways are better. But his ways are so much higher. His ways are so much higher. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Will he not make it good? Yeah, I feel like I'm at a Red Sea moment. I'm just being honest with you guys. I don't know why the question. Maybe you're digesting what's being said to you, but I'm serious. I feel like I'm at a Red Sea moment of my life. Where the pressure is so intense, and I'm out of ways that I can control the situation. I'm out of my own way. I'm out of my own paths. I've exhausted it all. There's no escape by human standards. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that is where God is looking to get us to go, to let go and trust Him. The world or people look and say, that's impossible, but I serve the God of possible. I serve the God of possible. My Bible says it so. It's the authority that I have to proclaim. It's the hope that I have to cling to. Because He's faithful and He's true. The white horse rider, it's going to be written on his thigh. Hebrews says, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. But Pharaoh's army's checking me down. What am I going to do? Sisera's chariots, his iron chariots are coming. Do you remember that one? And then God shows up in a big way in a thundering boom and sends the floods to consume his army. And he opened the floods for the other one for us to pass through, and then he consumed the army. His promises don't fail, folks. He told Joshua, in Joshua 21, he said, the Lord gave Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them the rest all around according to all he had sworn, and not a man of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. It all came to pass. And guess what? The things he's spoken, they're coming to pass. They're coming to pass. So you need strength and courage for the day. He tells that to Joshua, right? Have I not commanded, be strong of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Deuteronomy 31, he says the same thing. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Matthew 28, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Are we at the end of the age? He's still here, folks. He's still with us. And when the plan unfolds, sometimes it hurts. It hurts walking in it. Those trials that come, that crucible, the crucible heats up, right? Remember the crucible? And it heats up the metals to bring the impurities to the surface so he can skim them away. That's why the Holy Spirit was very clear about the love part. Very clear. Let that impurity, that whatever it is that's got you underneath, let the heat take it to the surface and skim it away. God promises us comfort in our trials. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Listen to this. He comforts us in our tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I was able to comfort your wife this week by words of encouragement. I took a phone call with one of my clients today who was mourning the loss of her husband. And I got the opportunity to say, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I got to speak life into her. We're able to share that comfort we've received. Some of you have received comfort from this church body. And now it's in your turn to share with others. I was able to share. God was faithful. He gave me opportunity. I went on a sales calls, and I met with some, you know, a realtor, and we're talking about business. And all of a sudden, the door opened. And we started talking, he started asking questions, and I got the ability to share Bible prophecy with him. prophetic things. And next day I looked at my watch and I was there for almost an hour talking about things of the Lord and encouraging him. And then he asked me to follow up and send him some things, and I did. And then he wrote back and he said, you know, it was really good to get to know you better. He's like, I told my wife how we hit it off. Because I was letting my light shine. And I listened to the Holy Spirit, and the door was opened. I didn't create the door. I didn't open it. The Lord opened the door, and so then I chose to walk through it. I was able to speak to him and say, hey, I don't have a spirit of fear. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I know that I'm in his hands. And I've shared that with you today. I know I'm in his hands. That's what a promise. And he promises to supply our needs. And if you think you're heading for a time of lack, it's coming, folks. But he will provide the sparrows, right? He provides for the sparrows. What Matthew 6:33, what is our job to do? What are we supposed to do for that? All the other things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek his kingdom first. What you worry about the most is likely the spot where you are least likely to trust God. When you don't know what to do, seek God. Seek his kingdom. When the pressure accelerates, when you're worried, when you're panicked, when you don't know what to do, seek first his kingdom. Seek his righteousness, his ways, which are so much higher than ours. Seek his goodness. Seek his presence. And he promises us peace in the midst of that. You know what? He rained down manna from heaven for the Israelites who were in lack. Philippians 4, 5b through 7 is the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He's here. He's with me. The Lord is at hand. So be anxious for nothing. If the Lord is at hand, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication. There it is again. With thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to trust you more. Let your request be made known to God. God, I'm trusting you. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills this month. God, I'm trusting you. I don't know how I can spend another week with my family members who beguile me. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. And it talks about later on there, he's like, hey, think about the good report. Think about the true in things. Meditate on those things, those noble things. Not the circumstances. And if you ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to you. When you don't feel like you know the way, he's the way maker. But Lord, give me wisdom on how to deal with this problem, this issue. He's faithful to give it to us. Amen? Amen. And he gives us the grace to stand, right? In Romans 5, it says again, like having been justified by faith, but it says, by faith into this grace in which we stand, that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm not going to read that whole scripture, but Hebrews 4 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. God gives us the grace to stand, and we access that by faith, which is trusting in someone bigger than you and I. Okay? And he said, I'll give you power. I'll give you power. Not power as the world thinks, but the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, right? This is that which was prophesied, and God is going to do it again. He's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And the Counselor, the breath of the Almighty, the great Teacher, the Comforter, the one who leads us in all truth, our Helper in our very time of need. He's the Spirit of knowledge. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. He makes intercession for us. The Spirit of the living God who convicts us of sin. He's also our seal. He's the fire inside us. Let it go out like a wildfire. We sing that in I Speak Jesus, right? Yeah. Burn like a fire. The Spirit of glory resting upon us. That we can walk in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And that light is inside us. Do you understand? And Jesus said, you will not walk in darkness. It looks pretty dark out there. Nope. I got the light of the Lord. He's with me. Okay? So you've been chosen for such a time as this. You've been chosen for such a time as this. I know I've said that to you numerous times. I'm just speaking to your heart. And I know this is a message that we need to get a hold of and build it deep down inside, because the time of trial is here. It's not coming. It's here. Carry the good report. The world sees fear, distress, and no hope. And you have all the opposite of that. You're an overcomer because he overcame. And you have the promise of eternity. And he has a kingdom that's coming that's not going to fail. The king is surely coming. The king is coming. And you can have peace in this storm. You're going to make it to the other side, like he told the disciples. I'll meet you on the other side. They missed that part. They just looked at the storm. I said, I'll meet you on the other side. They didn't take his word to heart. He's going to meet you on the other side. That one song, there's a song called Casting Crowns that says, already there. He's already there. Yeah. Pastor Haynes had reposted this, and I shared this with you back in October, but he said, I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, things are going to move very swiftly, like being in a car rounding a very sharp corner, maybe a Mach 1. Lean into it. Even if you don't know the way, you do not need to. Trust is your passport. There's an emergence of my army taking place right now. They are being fitly joined together. They do not look like what man imagines. Unlike those who wield a sword, these have power and authority because they walk in profound love and rare humility. God does not like haughtiness. Humility. Listen, they've been extremely wounded and have scars, but they have chosen to forgive. I love how he reposted this. It's something I shared, but then I think about the message that the Lord has put on my heart. And you've chosen to forgive. They fear God. Make no mistake and do not misunderstand, for there is no weakness in them. They have been endued with power from on high because they have not resisted the secret place where my fire penetrates and purifies. They have been purged all of the lesser desires by seeking my face. I am their heart's true love, and I know them by name. They have sought me and found me, for they have sought me with all of their heart. I have taught you in the secret place, and you have learned the ways of my Spirit. I remind you this day, do not strive, but rest your heart in the quietness, and I will do what you cannot do. Anxiety and striving are the worst of the enemies to your peace. When I give you a task, I give you the grace to accomplish it. I will never send you to fail or give you a mission only to make you fall. I will strengthen you in the quiet place and bring my transcendent presence to calm your soul. Rest in my love, and I will bring it to pass. Let me bring you in a greater light and greater insight, and you will begin to see what I'm doing in the life of another and pray for them with divine wisdom. Faith, rest, and hope. Know that I will never fail you or disappoint you. Faith activates the promise, and you will experience the realm of confident rest. Now every desire I placed in them is being called forth. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you for your word, Lord. And I know this wasn't a rah-rah message, Lord, but you have divine purpose in all that you do. Now I ask, Lord, that the message that was spoken today, the areas that were pricked in our hearts, Lord, that dross would come up and it would be removed, and that seeds for fruit for your kingdom will be planted. And as scripture says, it will return a 30, 60, and 100-fold. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and the refining that you are doing in this time, in this day, for you will have your bride spotless and known by her true name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.